Eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son so that your Son may glorify you. And through the power over all mankind that you have given him, let him give eternal life to all those who have entrusted to him. I have glorified you on earth and finished the work that you gave me to do. Now, Father, it is time for you to glorify me with that glory I had with you before ever the world was. I have made your name known to the men you took from the world to give me. They were yours, and you gave them to me. And they have kept your word. And now at last they know that all you have given me comes indeed from you. For I have given them the teaching you gave to me, and they have truly accepted this, that I came from you, and have believed that it was you who sent me. I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those who have given me, because they belong to you. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine, and in them I am glorified. I am not in the world any longer, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. This is the gospel.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Another of the oddities about the fourth gospel is that it doesn't give us the Lord's Prayer, which comes to us in the form that we use in Matthew's Gospel and is reproduced in a shortened form in Luke's Gospel. Instead, this 17th chapter comes to us from the Gospel of John. And suddenly it's as if all the secrets are laid bare, and we enter into the mind of Jesus Christ in a way that we never do anywhere else in the Gospels. If you think about it, everything we know about what Jesus thought, what he felt, is really supposition. We read the stories of miracles, and from time to time we get a little precious insight from one of the evangelists, where we find Jesus was astounded at somebody's faith or lack of it, or that Jesus was touched by somebody and felt sorry for them. These moments of insight are very rare. Mostly Jesus displays his state of mind only through the teaching that he gives about God, or about the deeds that he does. But here we suddenly find ourselves with him in a way that we are nowhere else in the Gospels. We are included in his praying. And this makes this 17th chapter of John one of the most important and precious scriptures that we have. And it is vastly influential on Christian life in all denominations. In our denomination, it makes the classical shape of our worship. This is the Lord's praying, if not the Lord's prayer. And in understanding the shape of his thinking and his sense of himself and of us and of the Father, we find the state of mind described, which should be ours at every Eucharist. The first word he says, is, as in the Lord's Prayer itself, is Father. Everything that he's going to say is directed to the Father. And he knows that the hour has come. We should think that every time we come to Mass, that we are entering into the hour of God, the moment of God, the meeting between God and the world, which is decisive. You might think of it being the Last Supper when these words were spoken. You might think of it as the moment when Jesus lifts his head on the cross and says, "It is accomplished," and bows his head and dies. You may think of it being the moment when the Holy Spirit descends on the disciples and makes them missionaries for the world. But in reality, all these moments are one. The meeting with God is one. And we enter into the hour of God when we celebrate the Eucharist, which transcends all time and unifies all time and reduces everything to this one encounter. The hour has come for you to glorify your Son. What is glory? In the Bible, it means the realization of God's presence. People are struck dumb by the glory of God. People are silenced by it. People discover their true nature and their duty when they see the glory of God. And when the glory of God appears, all our questions are answered, because the glory of God is a glimpse of our destiny too. One of the fathers of the church said, "The glory of God is humanity fully alive." And so Jesus is asking for the glory of God to descend on him at this moment, on the very vigil of his passion. What will that mean? Will it mean that he is raised into a kind of beatitude? It certainly won't mean that he doesn't go to the cross. And in the passion in John's Gospel, earthly glory will be stripped from Jesus. He'll stand before high priests and Roman prefects, people who hold in their hands earthly powers, and he will refuse any sharing what they own. "My kingdom is not an earthly kingdom," he says to Pilate. "If it were, then we'd be having a fight at this moment. My kingdom is not your sort of kingdom." And he goes on to say that all who are ready to hear the truth are those who will listen to his voice. No domination, no force involved, but those who are ready to listen to the truth will listen to Jesus. And that when he sits enthroned in the Roman robe with the crown of thorns on his head, when he hangs on the cross, "This is the King," written over his head, they will really be saying, "Not on this earth, not in this lifetime." His earthly glory is distinctly refused, so that there is room for the glory of God. The glory of God is not incompatible with the cross. Then he prays for us. "I've made your name known," he says, "to the people you took from the world to give me. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word." Second line of the Our Father says, "Hallowed be your name, may your name be glorified." And we should think of that as a request to God, that God should glorify his name, that God should make known the glory of his name on earth. And this is Jesus' prayer for us, that we will remain faithful to the word. When we come to the Eucharist, we listen to the word. We get a glimpse of what Jesus wanted us to know. and the name of God is laid on us in our baptism so that we should keep his word. And Jesus says, they have accepted that I came from you. They have believed it was you who sent me. The religion with which we hear the word, the way we let it into us, is the measure of our accepting it as the word of God. I pray for them, says Jesus. I'm not praying for the world, but for those you have given me because they belong to you. Why doesn't Jesus pray for the world? Didn't he say God loved the world so much that he sent his only Son, so that the world might not perish, might have eternal life? But here on the vigil of the Passion, there is a great division about to take place, where the world will separate out from the kingdom of God, where those who go with Christ will be crucified to the world, and those who go with the world will be separated from Christ. And so this moment of judgment, which Jesus will bear in his own flesh, in his own dying, this moment of judgment makes his prayer all one way, all for those who will have to suffer the division from the world. All I have, says Jesus, is yours. All that you have is mine, and in them I am glorified. I am not in the world any longer, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. There is the tension in which we now suffer between ourselves as belonging to God, as part of Christ, and ourselves as being stuck in the world, slaved to the world, fully involved in it. And in this prayer of Christ, it's as if the hand of Christ reaches out to us to hold us in our situation here. And the prayer of Christ, which is for us and not for the world, is the prayer of the Mass. Only those who are baptized can share in it. Only those who are given over into the hand of Christ. And this precious gift of being able to share in Christ's prayer is what gathers us on Sunday, what gathers us today, and what we are about to do in the Eucharist we celebrate. In the second reading today, even though Eastertide is nearly complete, we still find time to remember the suffering which belongs to the Christian life. You should never deserve to suffer for being a murderer or a thief or an informer, but you will suffer if you are a Christian. And if you do, you should find joy that you have been called one. Let us proclaim our faith.
We believe in one God, the Father of all mankind, maker of heaven.